This one, as Brother Jeff was saying, I want to talk a bit about Jonah, but parallel it a little bit about our own walk. Jonah has his strength and his weakness, and how God really wanted to work with Jonah to save the people of Nineveh, but not just the people of Nineveh, but Jonah himself, and how knowledgeable Jonah was, how he knew God, he knew God's characteristics, and it's the same for us. I would say most, if not all of us in this room, except for the little babies around the back, we read and we understand, but how does the knowledge about God, how much does it impact on our life? How much does it drive us to do God's will, to save others, to save 120,000 people in Nineveh? And also look at how Jesus knew God characteristics as well, and how much his impact on his life, and what could be such a great difference of how it impact on his life and how it can impact on our life. What's so different about how he faced with different obstacles and situation and can say answers like, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. How can we reach that level? Can we? I want to start off by turning to Jonah chapter 1. And I'm going to read from 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And it's very, you know, it's really short. It's not like when the Lord appeared to Jeremiah or Ezekiel and we see all this long vision and he's saying, I'm with you, I'm with you. It's very short. It appeared to him and say, go to Nineveh. But I'm sure there is just much more than just few lines there. And I kind of parallel that to our walk. We have to remember Jonah wasn't just some random guy like Amos, the man from Tekoa who was a farmer who became one of the minor prophets like Jonah here. God obviously saw something in him, just like each and every one of us who are called. God sees something in every one of us. And I'm going to parallel God calling him and sending him to Nineveh as God calling each and every one of us and say, as Jesus said, go out and preach my word to all nation and teach them to repent. Because that's exactly what's happened here. God called Jonah and said, go to Nineveh and tell them to repent. Tell them to turn to God. Tell them from their worthless ways. We're in that same position. How do we handle that now? Do we go do it with all our strength and our vigor and our might? Do we slot back a little and, you know, I don't want to go alone, you know, send Isaiah with me, send another prophet. Do we go, do we flee from the presence of the Lord? Do we have our gift and just hold back with it? I'm going to try not to be too hard on Jonah today, or any of us in here, but I look at Jonah as a great man who would save everyone he meet. That's how I look at him. Jesus make reference to that. I'm going to look at later that the men of Nineveh is going to rise at the judgment and condemn that generation Jesus was preaching to at the time. And I look at it and I look at Jonah chapter 1:15 when the sea was roaring and they thought they were going to die, and Jonah said, well, if you throw me in the sea, it will become completely calm. You know, they were each praying to their worthless idols, their gods. And Jonah said, look, there's, you know, this God. And he must have said something to them, because in 15 and 16 it says, so they pick up Jonah and hurl him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its roaring. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly. They come to a new understanding. They feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. They come to see that their idol, their gods, couldn't save them, but there was a genuine God who controlled the wave and the sea that could. And we don't know what happened. Jesus didn't make reference to these people in the boat, but he made reference to the 120,000 people of Nineveh that Jonah overcome his fear and go preach to. Luke chapter 11, verse 29 to 32, please. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for signs, but none will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. And he was making reference to Jonah chapter 3, verse 6 to 10, which was read this morning. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, the message had reached him. You know, Jonah, I guess, must have looked at it in many aspects that we're going to look at later. One of it was his own weakness. But maybe he also looked like, oh, these people are too bad. You know, they can't repent, but they did. They repented and they turned their life around, and Nineveh wasn't destroyed then. Yes, we know a few of 100 years later it did, but not then. He saved them. He saved them from certain destruction. And we know how destructive God can be when he reaches his end of his rope. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the most important thing is we see a God that's really forgiving. And that was Jonah's problem, God's characteristics. And when he sat on the hill waiting for Nineveh's destruction, and imagine you go out and preach to somebody to save them, but you're still looking for their destruction. I always think about him being a man like John the Baptist. He always seemed like a really stern guy to me when he was preaching repentance. I always look at just trying to imagine going around that 40 days and just being so stern, like these people are hopeless, but I still got to do it. And you know, we too have to go around for our 40 days and preach repentance, but knowing that God is merciful. And God was trying to really work with Jonah and teach, trying to save him this. But what's really interesting is when God saw, when they turned away, and God turned away his anger from them, and he did not do what he had promised, Jonah was really upset. And Jonah said, quoted Exodus 34, 6, 7. He quoted that in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh God, is this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were gracious God, a merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from sending disaster. Therefore, O Lord, please take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." And he was quoting the exact reference from Exodus 34, 6 and 7. He knew God's characteristics. He really knew God. But it didn't make, it didn't cause a big impact on his life. And that's the impact that God was trying to teach Jonah, not only to save those 120,000, but trying to save Jonah. And in this spirit we need to have, we need to remember that God is merciful and compassionate, and once he sent us to do his will, to save Nineveh, you know, Nineveh can be referred to as our friends at work, whoever that not yet has the gospel in their life. It kind of also reminds me of Habakkuk. Habakkuk had the same problem, but he didn't try to turn God's will. He just approached God with more questions like, you know, why do you sit back and watch the wicked rule over the good? But this is the same issue that was going on in Nineveh here. But unlike Habakkuk just asked questions, he really wanted to change God's mind, change the outcome of things, and that was his weakness. And all of us can have that similar weakness or more. And God is really trying to work with all of us to overcome our different weakness to save us. Micah 6 verse 7, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to act justly, to love kindness, and to walk humble with your God." That's a very important lesson to learn, because this is what Jonah missed at the time. And I'm not going to say whether or not I think he received the lesson in the beginning, or I mean in the end, and was saved or not. We don't know, but I always think he did, because I always say who wrote the book must have wrote sometime after. And this is the lesson we see in Jesus. He too was a very learned man, and we see he act justly, he walk humble, he was kind. That's when in the end Philip could say, "Show us God, show us the Father." And Jesus was, "Don't you see me, Philip, after I've been with you so long?" And then he realized he have seen the Father. He have seen the kindness, the mercy, the justice. And how does it impact on our life? Galatians 4, 8 to 9. "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can we turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principle of the world, whose slave you want to be once more?" All of us have come to know God, just like Jonah. He knew God from, he knew God characteristics from Exodus. And we know God way more than he. He just have a small portion of the Old Testament. We have all the old and the new, and so much study material now that we can go, we probably hear more talk and exhortation than Jonah will had ever heard in his entire life. So we know more, so it should impact on our life way more. We should be way more mature in our thinking and just do what Jesus called us to do. Go out and preach. Go out and save Nineveh. Save all people. And we have a better example. I shouldn't say that, a better example than God. That's the perfect example. But we have a really good example in Hebrews 1:1-3. It's talking about Jesus. It says, long ago, in many time and in various ways, God spoke to our forefather through the prophet, like Amos, like Jonah. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. He is the exact radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature. Exact? Exact in his characteristics. Exact in what he has learned about the Father. We know Jesus was a really learned man, and we can also take on those characteristics if we put away ourselves like Jesus did. He was thinking of the 120,000 people. Jonah was thinking of them and getting what they deserve. Jesus was thinking of all of us, and what we deserve is really the kingdom, not death. And upholding the universe by his word and power. After making purification for his sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty and high. Because he take on God characteristics. And if we take it on as well and do what is required, we know there is a kingdom that's going to set up on this earth shortly that we will be a part of. I go back to Matthew 5:43-48, where it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies, love the people of Nineveh, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the good, on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God was showing not only Jonah but all the people of Israel from a very long time that he was there to save all people of the world. Because that's what he wanted to do. The Jews were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles there. So be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What I will end with is just take on those characteristics of God, of Jesus Christ that we learn about. And the prophet Paul always say, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. Always say, if you think you can't follow God and you can't follow Jesus, which Jesus has shown us that it's not so hard. Follow Paul. And as we are here to take the emblems, we see how much Jesus was there to the end for his cause, to show us God's glory, to die on the cross for us. He did it to the end. And that's just the perfect example for us to just go out and preach to Nineveh and to do what God's will.